He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and buspreneur extraordinaire.
He is Aubrey Goodman, web services and really all things development savant. Wrangler of the web, as it were, really, and mobile as well. And this is a little show that we call Distilled. Welcome in here. Good to have you on the exhausted episode following my traverse of half the United States on Startup Bus.
What, driving there and flying back?
Yes, riding to...
But sleeping when?
San Antonio, not really sleeping ever.
Oh, and not even then because of...
Yeah, exactly. So, so we'll talk a little bit about Startup Bus. In the meantime, if you want to connect with us on Twitter, you can do so. I'm at JWD2A and Aubrey's at Aubrey Goodman. You can catch this podcast on iTunes or Podomatic. Just search for Distilled, and if you have anything you want to hear us talk about on the show, just hashtag it Distilled Topics, and we'll try to catch that and get it on the show for you. Startup Bus. So, so this past week was Startup Bus. So Startup Bus has been going on now for, 4 or 5 years maybe, I think. And it is a 72-hour-ish hackathon. Ish. On a bus.
Ish.
On the way to South by Southwest, and that is definite. All the other parts are flexible.
For interpretation.
Right. There are startup buses happen all over the world, although it started with this group of buses that leaves from various places in the United States traveling to South by Southwest every year. South by obviously happening in early March. There are buses that leave from various parts of the country. There's one that leaves out of Silicon Valley. There's one that leaves out of Seattle in Canada. There's one left out of New York. One left out of Nashville, Mexico City, Tampa. And there might be another one I'm forgetting about. Either way, there were 7 buses this year. And the idea is you get on this bus and you ride the bus. If anyone's ever been to a startup weekend, it's pretty much like a startup weekend. You pitch ideas that you want to work on, and then the group kind of self-selects organically through this very oddly working and efficient organic process that I did not believe in at all, but it did actually work. The group sort of selects some ideas to work on, breaks into teams, and then boom, you're off and running. Now you have 72 hours to build and prototype and get a product working to demo and pitch at the Startup Bus competition that happens right before South by Southwest. And you're competing against all the other teams. Each bus has 4 or 5 teams on it, depending on the number of participants, depending on the sizes of the teams. And so I was lucky enough to, lucky-ish, enough to be part of this experience. And it really was a killer experience. I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I will try to do it next year as well. Let's see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's sort of how it went. It was really cool. The Tampa bus that I was on, we left Sunday morning at 7:45 or so. We stopped in Gainesville, worked at a co-working space there for a little while, went on up to Atlanta for the night, working on our projects the entire time. Went to a co-working space in Atlanta, pitched to some local people there, got some feedback, left the next morning, went to Baton Rouge, the same kind of story, went to a co-working space, pitched, stayed there. Then the shit went downhill.
At what point did the bus breakdown or begin to break down?
Yeah.
Or when was the first breakdown?
Everything was going swimmingly up until we got to Baton Rouge. And then we wake up... let me see. It would have been Tuesday morning in Baton Rouge. We all go downstairs, you know, we're planning to leave at, I believe it was 10 a.m., to leave from Baton Rouge, drive San Antonio. It's an 8-hour drive, get into San Antonio at 6 o'clock that evening, Tuesday evening.
It's worth pointing out at this point that you don't sleep on the bus.
No, you don't sleep on the bus. You don't sleep on the bus.
That would be insane.
Yes.
30 people on a bus all sleeping there all the time.
Yeah, no. You sleep in hotels, which is a major good thing, really, because you need that time. Yeah. Now, how much you actually sleep in the hotels is a whole different story, but we'll get there. So everything's going well, and we get to Baton Rouge, and we wake up in the morning, and we all go downstairs, and we're waiting to get on the bus. And we find out that I-10, which is the major corridor that goes across Panhandle, Florida, Louisiana, and all this, all the way over to Texas, that takes us from Baton Rouge to San Antonio, is shut down because of an ice storm. An ice storm in fucking Louisiana in March. What? Okay, sure. Right. So I-10 is shut down. We can't leave. So we're like, okay, well, we'll leave in a couple hours. A couple hours becomes a few more hours. Mm-hmm. Finally, we're able to leave at 6 p.m. Now, let me remind you that we were supposed to leave at 10 a.m. Right. It's an 8-hour drive. So at this point, we're leaving at 6. We're going to drive San Antonio's 8-hour. We're going to get in at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, we've all stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning the whole trip so far, so this is no big deal, really, although a little bit inconvenient. Now, adding to the inconvenience is the fact that the bus doesn't have heat. Turns out they just decided not to put heat on this bus. Okay. Well, that's fine when you're in Florida.
Yeah, I was going to say, that explains the hats and scarves and mittens that I saw in all the photos.
It doesn't work when you're in the middle of an ice storm, and it's 20-something degrees outside and 30-something degrees in the bus, and you're working and you can see your breath.
And there's not enough gumbo in the world
to warm you up. Exactly. So we actually, I have them. I should have brought them over. We stopped at a truck stop, and I ended up buying some, like, knit gloves that I cut the tips out of so I could keep coating
type.
but keep my hands somewhat warm. So we'd all, like, stop at these places, like, get more, like, blankets and all this kind of crap to pile up on ourselves. So this is obviously an uncomfortable experience, but that's okay. We're entrepreneurs. We're cool with that. Until we get to Columbus, Texas. Now, I don't know where Columbus, Texas is, and to be honest with you, I still haven't looked it up on a map.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's like half...
I think it's kind of close to the border between Louisiana and Texas, but I'm not really sure. I could be wrong about that completely.
I'm going to go with BFE.
Yeah, it's definitely in BFE. So, it's around 11 o'clock, I guess, when we pull over at a truck stop. Now, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to gas, we're going to, you know, a little pit stop for everybody. This happens from time to time.
Sure.
When I find out, no, actually, we're probably not going to be leaving anytime soon because the alternator on the bus is dead. Uh-huh. There were some warning signs earlier on because, like, the bus driver was asking everyone to unplug.
Oh, dear.
Because it was like, I think we're using too much power, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
And the headlights... we're slowly dimming.
Right. Which means our alternator's not charging the battery.
Exactly. Exactly. So we get there. We stop at this truck stop that has a gas station and strange little retail establishment that has all manner of Americana, and then a Taco Bell. The Taco Bell's closed, but accessible because it's kind of inside the gas station. We all sort of go into the Taco Bell and we commandeer some tables and we're sitting around. The bus driver comes in and he says, well, I talked to Ray, the guy who owns the bus company. He suggested we just drive without headlights. We didn't feel like this was a good idea.
Pivot. We're making makeshift headlights for our malfunctioning bus.
And so we decide instead to wait the 4-something hours that it's going to take for another bus to come pick us up.
Wait, so you're on a bunch of entrepreneurs on a bus, and you have a tchotchke store.
Right. Oh.
And a gas station. And you haven't at this
can't
point
figure out like how to,
MacGyvered a startup around the solution to your problem.
It's very funny you mentioned that. Because we actually did float this one idea.
Of course you did.
So in part of this odd store of Americana, one of the things that it sold is this thing that I think we began calling like the monkey pimp staff. It looked like a lightsaber with a big knob on the end of it that you could, like, sort of turn it upside down and, like, use as a staff. It was sort of like this pimp monkey in the middle of it, or like this monkey in the middle of it, emblazed on the side of it. And the whole thing lit up, the whole length of the thing, like a lightsaber and the knob on the end. And so what we thought about doing was taking them and like buying 20 of them or 30 of them and putting them around the entire perimeter of the front of the bus. Mm-hmm. So the whole front of the bus would be this blinking monkey pimp staff like ring that would light up the light up the road on the way down.
You don't think that might attract the wrong kind of
probably so. I know.
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to explain the pimp monkey staffs plural on the front of your bus.
We're just trying to see our way. Leave us alone, cop. I actually wondered if we could get a police escort, but whatever.
I wonder what the going rate of currency is. Like, how many monkey pimp staffs does it take to bribe a police officer
to escort you
in Columbus, Texas?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Something tells me in Columbus, Texas, there's a different manner of payment.
It might take three or four. Actually, you think it would just be the one?
Right. You would think. So we wait. A bus finally comes and picks us up at 4:00. We left at like 4:30. And we ended up getting into San Antonio at 6:30 a.m. A full 12 and a half hours after we were supposed to. Now, I will have you know that I didn't sleep the entire time. Some people were sleeping in the Taco Bell, which it became known as Taco Hotel for the rest of the trip because of this. Sleeping on the chairs, on the floor, all this kind of thing. I saw somebody just literally walked over to a corner and just collapsed into a corner. it was something. It was wild.
Kind of just like someone like off the zombie.
Yeah,
just like slumped into the corner.
It's funny too because like the guy that Matt roomed
later
with
got back up.
Yeah, Matt roomed with a guy one night, right? And he said that like so they go into the room and it's a king bed.
Oh no!
And Matt's like, well, this is
hashtag awkward.
Awkward, right? And so the guy goes. Oh, no problem. I'll sleep on the floor. And, like, literally walks over the corner and just, like, head first, just, like, whoop, and just, like, falls like, on the floor and it's out.
It just does a header into the corner.
And that's it. And just.
And then he's up, like, a couple hours later.
Yeah. Matt was like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, literally just was like, oh, no problem.
Woof. Wow.
And just. Done, right? So he asked Matt about it. He was floored. No pun intended.
Oh.
Anyway, God, that was pretty good.
Well played, sir.
So we finally got there. I'll have you know, though, that although people were sleeping in the Taco Bell, I did not. I worked the entire time at the Taco Bell. We got on this shuttle, like literally the bus replacement they sent us. Now, keep in mind, we were on a coach bus on the up until it broke down, right? And this thing is actually quite comfortable and quite big. I mean, everyone had pretty much a row to themselves, okay. Right? There's that much room in
it's
this
a big
thing.
Bus.
It's a big bus. Well, the thing that came and picked us up was basically an extended airport shuttle.
Like enough seats, maybe.
Exactly enough. Like, exactly enough, right? Precisely Forget enough. The fact that we all have bags and luggage and all of that. Everyone else slept on that thing except for one other guy. I sat and coded the entire fucking time all the way to San Antonio. Then we got to San Antonio and like a boss, I went to my room and didn't go back to sleep at 6:30 a.m. No, I sat up and coded for another hour until 7:30 and then I was done. I had 2 hours of sleep and then went and pitched and made the semifinals. Yes, that's baller.
I agree.
Well done. So that's Startup Bus. It is a hell of a time. There were some really interesting projects. There were some really shitty projects. But that's to be expected.
Anytime there's a pitch competition, someone tries to sell you a whole lot of bullshit.
Absolutely. Florida got the screw.
Yeah, how's that?
On this whole thing. Well, it was like the whole week was sort of hate on Florida week, right? Yeah. Like, you could tell that, like, no one took Florida seriously, which really pissed me off, you know? Really pissed me off. When they were announcing the results, let's see, which was the first thing that happened? Well, where it really came to light was when they announced the results of who was getting into the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we'll go region by region, starting with the West, and we'll do Florida last. That is, if Florida got anybody into the finals. Like, said that out loud. Now, when you say that out loud, That is actually insinuates that Florida did get somebody in. Because you wouldn't actually say that. Who would actually say if Florida got in?
Right.
You would say it sort of like a tongue-in-cheek thing, like, if they got in, because they did get in.
Right, because you dogged the front runner.
Exactly. No, Florida didn't get a single team in the finals.
Nice.
Right?
Well done. That's
so classic. That was a really shitty move, right? Secondly, and so, like, yeah, it was really, and frankly, they shouldn't have gone region by region because it just made it more glaringly
clicky.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It was like, yeah. West Coast, three teams in, you know, it's really bullshit. Either way, then there was another thing, and this is really petty and stupid, and I probably shouldn't, you know, whatever about it, but they were talking about, so Mexico City was one bus. They had eight teams on this bus, which is outstanding, right? Four of their teams made it into the semifinals, okay? Mm-hmm. We had five teams. Three of our teams made it in the semifinals. So when they talked about the Mexico bus, they were like, and the Mexico bus had half their bus in the semifinals.
Mm.
And we're all like, oh, so we can't do math here because we had 60% assholes, right? No credit. No credit. Then, of course, the penultimate screw for Florida, which was not anybody's fault necessarily, actively, but once our fine folks went to South by Southwest, they stayed in an Airbnb house, and that Airbnb house got broken into, and 10 of our team members had their laptops and all of the electronics and, frankly, all their crap stolen. Mm. Sunday morning.
Major bummer.
In Austin. Major bummer. I mean, like, shoes. People stole their shoes.
Who steals
bags.
Shoes?
Crazy, right?
Only homeless people steal shoes.
Right? I mean, it's crazy.
I've heard of people getting robbed for shoes.
Right. Unbelievable. So, now, that has a happy ending because Microsoft came through and gave all the people free laptops, free tablets, shoes, and like something else, right? So they like swooped in and did that. Airbnb covered all the cost of all the things that were stolen, right? Oh. So they fully like
beautiful
insured it. Who else stepped up? I don't know. Either way, I think those were the two that like monetarily compensated. Mm. So huge show of support from Microsoft and Airbnb, and got to give them major props for that.
Yeah, most definitely. That's not something I'm sure that they have to do. I think Airbnb, you expect that,
yeah,
because you know that's certainly it's their name on the line,
yep,
for stuff like that. But Microsoft sort of swoops in out of nowhere, yeah. And I think it's because you know there's some connections between some folks related to, you know, people tweeting about that, and
right,
you know,
yeah,
and plus, you know, at South by, no one wants to hear about a story about, you know, people losing their stuff and just a sad story. So it's definitely an opportunity for a company to step in and you know, make some very significant contributions to some, yeah, people's lives, and that stuff does not go unnoticed.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know what's funny? In a fit of irony, and probably when Microsoft looks back at it, it's a good or bad thing. Microsoft actually was running, I guess, I just learned this a few minutes ago, I think they were running a Twitter campaign with the hashtag South by Southwest problems.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's how it got picked up. Because, okay, like, Will Mitchell, that's who was, like, one of the conductors, was, yeah, like, South by Southwest problems, we just got a lot of shit stolen, right? It's, yeah, like, okay, you win. You win that hashtag. So,
yeah. Well, there's your connection.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it was good. None of our teams got in the finals, obviously. That's unfortunate, but it was cool. So
you've now, I guess, that's a pretty solid bucket list item, you know.
Yeah, I think
buspreneurship.
So. I think so. Absolutely.
So you've done the company in a building thing. You've done a lot of work in your living room.
Yep.
Starbucks, probably, that's a check.
Yep.
Now you got a bus. You've done it on a plane.
Boat is next, I
boat?
Think.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So we were talking about startup cruise. We got the startup weekend. You got the startup bus. Now maybe thinking about...
I want to talk to Mitch about that when he gets
that off.
I think Mitch would be behind it.
I think so too.
And in fact, I bet the startup bus organization might even do it. Maybe.
Start a boat.
I think it has train to be, would be
start
awesome.
Startup cruise is key.
Yeah. I mean, gah. Can you imagine? Be the most unproductive 3 days ever.
Great.
Everybody be drunk.
I don't know. Some of my best ideas. ..
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We've talked about the Balmer Peak before.
Yeah. So funny. Yeah, it's cool. I think if you did a startup cruise, actually, you'd have to extend it by a day. I don't think you'd want to do 72 hours. I think you'd want to do 4 days, 96 hours.
Yeah.
And the reason is because like cruises...
Factoring in hangover time?
Or? Well, that, yeah. But cruises stop in ports, and you want to get off of the port and go, you know, tool around the port for a few hours. So you got to build in time. Well,
that's another one, too. You know? Could you build in opportunities for, you know, visibility for any entrepreneurship programs that are happening in the countries,
in those ports,
at the ports that
you're visiting? Absolutely.
Because, I mean, if you really get down to it, the travel industry is full of entrepreneurship. There's all kinds of people trying to get the word out and, for their resort, or build a new resort, or whatever it is. And there's lots of people trying to get out and do new things in the world. So it's a nice happy marriage.
Yep.
I think there could be some synergy there, and especially when you start talking about the developing world and getting funding for supporting entrepreneurship in the developing world. I think isn't as hard as, say, getting venture capital in Tampa.
That is very true. That's very true. I know. So you'd have to look and see, like, what cruise ports have co-working spaces, entrepreneurship programs.
And universities.
Which, unfortunately, most ports won't, because most ports are tourist ports. Like, Key West probably doesn't. Cozumel probably doesn't.
True.
St. Martin probably doesn't. Well, St. Martin might.
I think the smaller countries, you're going to find a higher density of everything.
Right, yeah.
You definitely find that in the islands, in my experience. I mean, there's a different mentality for sure.
Yeah.
But, there's always going to be business schools in these places where they're teaching people. And, whether they're on the coast or, they have to make a trip to come to see you. I mean, when you spin this the right way, on the global spectrum, or on the global stage rather, you can really make a lot of waves. There's a lot. I think that it could be, and I don't know this, it's certainly a hypothesis, but it could be that there are lots of people in the developing world in places where you can visit by port, by cruise, that would be really excited about getting involved in this. And even if it means they have to drive an hour or 2 hours across the island to participate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be awesome. I think it's something we should definitely work toward. It'd be a lot of fun. And then the only other one would really be train, which would also be a lot of fun.
Startup Hyperloop. You have 15 seconds.
Startup Hyperloop. Yeah.
To build a business. Elon Musk did it in 8. You can do it in 15.
That'd be awesome. The problem is it would cost so much.
No, that's actually a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Hyperloop is such a small thing, and no one's actually built one yet.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Race to build the Hyperloop as a longer term thing, maybe.
Right.
But even that's going to cost a little more.
XPRIZE meets Startup Bus.
One hell of a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Like, Kickstarter's only total, like, all of the money they've ever raised is $1 billion, and it costs $6 billion to build one Hyperloop.
Unbelievable.
And that's only, what was that, the 140 mile one?
God.
That goes from LA to San Francisco. Is that 140? That's not 140 miles.
LA to San Francisco.
It's got to be longer than that. Several hundred.
Yeah.
But still. Right. Several hundred miles.
I don't know. I don't know my California
geography. For $6 billion, and that's one.
Jeez. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth doing. You should do it. It's a very unique experience. Our bus got along really well. We didn't have any assholes, which was awesome.
I am starting to think that a really nice way to live is to have a strict no asshole policy.
Yes, I think that's actually exactly the way to live.
Just, so sorry, me from 5 years ago. You don't make the cut.
That's funny.
I know there are people person in the audience, hi Gavin, who are saying, five? What do you mean five? What about two?
5 months?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Different unit.
She may not listen, actually.
God, I wasn't even thinking that, but okay. Very good.
They have to edit this.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Whatever.
Do you want to say a few words about where we are right now, or the aftermath
of this room?
Wait, like you went from, so this is all funny. Justin went from the frying pan into the fire, as it were.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Coming out of a no sleep scenario into a one marathon and into another marathon.
Yeah. I got back into Tampa Thursday night, late, and Friday started an event here at the Tampa Bay Wave Venture Center called Service Jam. Service Jam was a 72-hour startup weekend-esque thing.
Sound familiar?
Sound familiar. Where you try to innovate in service design. So instead of product design, like Startup Weekend typically is, you're trying to improve a service, right? So trying to redesign a service. Now, it doesn't always end up that way, because, frankly, service design is a very difficult thing for people to get the head around, right? So usually you see things come out of it that aren't necessarily service related. But so I help facilitate and organize that over the weekend. We had a good group. It was a small group. I had 20 people, I think, 15 or 20 people, three teams. I tell you, I was so impressed. I mean, these teams were young teams. I mean, they were all pretty young, with a couple notable exceptions. But we're talking about students. I mean, 21 years old, right? And one of these teams came in, and we went on Friday night only until about 9 o'clock. And then Saturday, we went from 9 to 6. And then from Sunday, we went from like 9 to 5. At Saturday night, at 6 o'clock, I was toast. I was like, I'm done. I'm leaving. One team was like, can we stay? We're like, yeah, I guess. They stayed till 11 o'clock.
Wow.
Working. It was incredible. And they built a mostly functioning web app over the course of this thing that was damn impressive. Impressive by any standard. It was incredible. I couldn't believe it.
It really was.
And these were really young kids. They built this thing. It was a platform for basically matching interns with workplaces, as far as I could tell.
Making it easier for people to hone their skills, the kinds of skills that employers want, the opportunity for employers to put up a board of, here's the kinds of things that, the kinds of projects that we do, and to put up example projects that would allow people to try those example projects. Yeah. Get their feet wet, as it were, get some experience. Their pitch, I think, centered around the idea that you can't get a job without experience, but you can't have experience without experience.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So how do you get the experience that gives you the job?
The perpetual conundrum that people get into.
So I really like the idea.
Yeah,
I liked really I liked all the stuff that they had. Uh-huh. There was one, Potty Time, which was...
Right.
For identifying, essentially crowdsourcing the quality and various aspects of a
atmospheric
of public bathrooms.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kinds of facilities that are available. And I think I can see some really interesting ways that can go.
You know, Charmin has an app that does that, which is a brilliant play for them, by the way. Yeah.
It is. And then one for signage in the electric vehicle space, which I thought was really an interesting idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's signage is something that isn't really standardized. And I mean, you and I have talked about this before. I don't know about many times, but iconography and, you know, just visual design is, in terms of navigation in public spaces, is just so vitally important to get right. And you can't have a bunch of text. And so this idea of a blue delta, a blue arrow that points you in the direction of where the nearest charging station is.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that's that really...
It's actually, really, I want to save this topic for a future episode because we're pretty much out of time.
Yep.
But I want to come back and talk on a future episode about signage, about dynamic signage, and how we might transform currently static signage, like stop signs and yield signs and things like this, into more dynamic and contextually aware pieces of signage. I think there's maybe a lot that can be explored there. I'll leave on a final footnote here about these projects. I in my research yesterday, I was looking up to see if anybody else had done the potty time concept. There have been a few, but that's fine. Doesn't matter. I found a new app that was evidently tried at South by Southwest this year called Airbnb, where you can rent out your bathroom to people at crowded events. So if you're at South by and you need to find a bathroom, you can find someone who has a house who will let you use their bathroom for $5. Brilliant.
Paid bathroom.
Yes.
When you got to go.
You got to go.
It's going to cost you.
Absolutely. What do you got to do? And what kind of conditions do you want? Market rate for...
Wait, is it like $1 for number one?
Yeah, probably $2. $10 for number two. That's right. That's right. What did you eat for lunch? Mexican? Oh, wow. Oh,
$45. Yeah. We're going to look at your social graph and see where you checked in earlier today.
I love it. It's great.
All right.
All right, folks. That'll do it for us. Go check out startupbus.com and hashtag startupbus on Twitter if you want to see all the haps going on there.
Absolutely.
And we will chat with you guys very soon.
Take it easy, folks. Thanks for listening.
Ciao.